Welcome back to Pastor's Roundtable. I am Josh Squires, and Dr. Thomas is on a much-needed vacation, so good for Derek. But that means you've got the four of the rest of us, me, David Lawton, Gabe Fleur, and Brian Bolt. Gentlemen, thanks for being with me yet again this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
So today, we've got more questions, and man, I'm telling you what, I really appreciate all the questions people send in. And so again, if you've got any question for the pastors, please send it to us. You can get it to us. You can get it to me, jsquires@firstpresscolumbia.org. That's jsquires@firstpresscolumbia.org. And I will put it on the list and we'll just kind of make our way down. So our next question on the list is a very personal one. Someone wanted to know, how can we, the congregation or those who are listening, be praying for you and your families? So how can people be praying for you and your family? And why don't we start with David Lawton?
Thanks, Josh. That is a great, great question. And I'm thankful that it's a question that I get somewhat regularly from our church family, because I'm so thankful that we have a family that prays.
Amen.
For one another and prays together to the Lord. And that is a great privilege. It's a humble thing to know that people do pray for us. And what a great privilege it is to pray for one another and for our whole church family. In terms of, I need prayer. So please pray for me. I think about my own personal need for growth in grace, need to become more like Jesus and be more conformed to his image and my own character. So I need your prayers. I need his help. And that's one very specific way. Probably may identify with these, just that I'd be a good husband and a good father. I'd make, with all the demands on us here at the church, that flock at the house, it's a small flock because it's just Ann and I right now, but that I'd love her well. And that I'd be able to point our children to Christ. Our daughter lives in Oregon and is doing well in a solid church there. You could pray just for her love for the Lord and her work as a physical therapist. And our son lives in Palo Alto, California. They both attend Reform churches in those areas. Our son Peter is engaged. He was to be married during COVID, mid-May.
Wow.
And that's being rescheduled, so you could pray. We're thankful that his fiance, Maddie, she's a sweet girl who knows the love of Christ, that she's not a bridezilla about this and has been very calm and methodical. But we still, and I know they need prayer. So just pray. Pray for my own witness to the Lord Jesus, to neighbors. Sometimes I find myself pretty busy in the life of our church. And so I'm praying just so I might have more non-Christian friends to speak of Christ, and looking at some ways through the gym or ways to go about doing that. So those are a few things. And I'm just really thankful, really humbled that people are asking how they can pray for me and for us as pastors.
Amen. Yeah, there are times when I genuinely feel sustained by the prayers of the people. Like, I'm not sure how you make it through a particular day or a particular event. And it's hard to explain. And I hope that all of our listeners have this experience where they know that we as the pastors pray for them, and they've got other people who are praying for them, and they feel really borne along by the Spirit. But there are times when I really do. It's just people come up to you after a service, I've been praying for you, and it's just like, I feel it. I know you've been praying for me, and it really makes all the difference in the world. Please keep doing it.
Absolutely. I heard from a church member who had been going through a difficult situation, and he said a couple of people know of his situation, and he said the same thing, that through his particular challenge, that he has been buoyed up and carried through by the prayers of even a few saints and brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Amen. All right, Gabe, how about you? How can we be praying for you and for your family?
I appreciate that, Josh. I would echo David's comments that this is a wonderful church that prays for its ministers. I get this question a lot too, and I'm always so grateful to know people are praying. It really does sustain the various ministries of this church. I think the biggest thing to pray for us, for me personally, would be multiplication of hours and blessing on the preaching of, and teaching on the Lord's Day. So for Gateway class and for the evening pulpit, because the longer I do this, the more I'm convinced that we do not pray enough for the Spirit to own and bless our preaching and teaching. And I'm speaking to myself here. So I think that would be my biggest prayer request, is that the Spirit would own the preaching and teaching of our pulpit here. And then for my family, you know, my wife is almost finished up with graduate school. She's doing a master's degree in nursing. So would appreciate prayers for her, and the Lord sustain us through that as she finishes up. And then girls are back at school. So of course would pray that everyone stays healthy. And I think we're all as parents praying for the same thing. That is that once the schools start, they don't stop. Praying for that. And then I also go along with what y'all have been saying and really have been impressed recently with the need to pray for our covenant children. You know, our confession speaks of improving our baptism. And I think that's one of the neglected areas of prayer for me personally, is that our covenant children would own the covenant for themselves, that they would profess the faith sooner rather than later, and that it would be a genuine profession, and the Lord would be at work in their hearts. And then the last thing, I've been praying a lot for covenant children who've wandered from the faith. And I think we need to pray that for each other, that our children, A, wouldn't wander, and B, if they have wandered, that the Lord would bring them back.
Yeah, there's no ache like the ache of a child that has gone astray. I mean, it is something that gnaws at you day and night, and it's very, very difficult. I always feel such a level of burden for our parents, especially, who have had a child that aren't currently professing faith. You know?
Amen. Yes.
You mentioned praying for preaching. I forget who it was. I was doing a little Sunday school series back in Jackson on being good sermon listeners, how it is that we make sure that we're listening well to sermons and processing the information and applying it to our life. I forget which Puritan said it, but he said, you don't receive well because you don't pray well, that you're not praying to receive the message in the preaching. So I would say, not only should we be praying for you, and I think that's convicting for me as well, make sure that we're praying, because you do such a fantastic job. I think it kind of slips out at times, like, oh, he's gonna knock it out of the park. We don't need to pray. But also praying for me and our listeners, praying for themselves, that they would have the ears that could hear and hearts that understand and hands that apply what it is that you're teaching.
Well, thank you for those kind words, brother. I can assure you from my view, the prayers would infinitely help what is manifestly not very good preaching on my part. So I would very much appreciate those prayers. And I also like what you said there from the Puritans, and that view is enshrined in our larger catechism on how to hear the word and profit from it. And that's wonderful to review. And I think, you know, that's something else we can do on Saturdays, is pray for the preacher and pray for ourselves as hearers. Amen. Definitely need that reminder. That's wonderful.
Amen. In fact, maybe that'll be a question we'll ask, put it in the rota somewhere, is how do we encourage ourselves on Saturday night before we hear the sermon? You know, how do we prepare to hear a sermon?
Yeah, and I think you and I both have heard these sermons, but they're available, just Google search, and should return these pretty quickly. But Ligon Duncan's How to Listen to a Bad Sermon.
Yes.
And How to Listen to a Good Sermon.
Yes, which is so ironic coming from Ligon, because that man never preaches a bad sermon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never heard him ever preach a bad sermon.
Right. All right, Brian, how about you? How can we be praying for you and for your family?
Thank you for the question, Josh. What you guys just said, I completely echo, and really don't have a whole lot to add. There is something that a person in my church in Greenwood used to say to me. I don't know if it was original to him or not, but it was really good alliteration along the lines of what y'all been talking about. And it was, see if I can get it right. Prayer in the pews produces power in the pulpit, something like that.
Wow.
Anyway, it stuck with me. So anytime someone would ask, how can I pray for you? Please, you know, pray for the Holy Spirit's power from the pulpit. So we definitely need to continue to do that. And for me personally, each of y'all played such a meaningful role in my installation service when I first came here 2.5 years ago. And I just remember the charge like it was yesterday to not neglect, you know, in my dutiful care, Lord willing, of the flock, not neglect, as David said, my little flock at home. And I really need to continue to remind myself of that, to pray for it myself. And to ask others to pray, you know, when they offer to lift up prayers for me. I know you guys can probably relate to this, but sometimes when I get home after a ministry filled day, and I'm just toast sometimes, and I don't have a whole lot left. I'm there with my family, but I'm not there with my family, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And just that I would not only be physically present, but just completely invested. My wife needs encouragement. She's homeschooling our 4 kids, and that's no small task. And I need to be her chief encourager. And sometimes I can get so wrapped up in what I'm doing that I can very easily neglect to encourage and pray for and with her, as well as my kids. And it strikes me every once in a while, I'm not going to get a do-over with my 4 kids. That's, you know, these years are so precious. And I just don't want to look back with any regrets. And it's so humbling to think of, covenant children who do wander and there before the grace of God go any of us. And so that is something that I do deeply desire prayer for. I'll be a faithful husband, a faithful father, and that I would be fully invested in my little flock at home and pastor my family well, shepherd them well.
That's so good. It's so often true that, like, those that are closest to us get the worst parts of us, that we give the best parts to everyone else, and then we finally get home and we're just kind of off our guard, you know, just kind of like, okay, well, and then they just get the leftovers, rather than trying to guard some portion of our attention and heart and actions for them so that they get the best of what we do.
That's I really so need true. Prayer for that. There's this sense that they're going to love me regardless, you know. I can be less than my best at home, but it's not fair to them.
That's right. I'll bring up the end here and say what you can be praying for us. First off, again, just like everybody said, echo everything that's been said here. Ministry is impossible without prayer, and that's ministry on all levels across everything that we do. And so prayer. That our church and its work would be bathed in prayer by its people. And that's our ministers, that's our officers, our staff, everything that we do. So we need that. Secondly, you know, as far as my family is concerned, you know, prayers for me as a husband and father, we are in a wonderful and yet, you know, what can be exhausting sort of stage. Not that you ever reach a place in life. I'm convinced you never reach a place in life where you're like, I'm not exhausted. Like, everyone's exhausted about something in life all the time. But in this, we have 5 children, and they range in age from pre-K to 8th grade. And so it's just it's wonderful, and all of them are wonderful, but it can be tiring. And so that I would go home and not be at the end of myself, but really be renewed, re-strengthened to be present, to be the sort of husband and father that the children need, the husband that my wife needs. And she needs the sort of encouragement of a husband who builds her up. And just like you said, Brian, kind of the idea of that first church, you know, my first church is the church at home. And if I'm not pastoring my first church well, I can't possibly be pastoring the broader church well. So I need to be a good pastor of my bride's heart, and as much as possible try to reflect the joy for my bride that Christ has for his bride, the church. And that's really my call. And so any prayer that we have, that anyone has available for that, would be fantastic. Beyond that, prayer for just ministry, counseling ministry here, that what would be said and done here would be good, right, and wise, and according to the Word of God. That's the measure for all of my counseling, is the Word of God and how it accords with the Word of God. And helps people to see the cross and gets them to the cross. That's always going to be where I'm trying to get people. And so I need help. I can't do it. I can't get them to the cross in my own power. And so I need the Holy Spirit. And so if people would pray for that, that would be fantastic. And lastly, though oftentimes it feels more urgently, prayer for my studies. I'm now in the midst of the third academic semester. So about halfway through with the academic portion of the PhD, and this looks to be a relatively jam-packed semester as far as reading and content and all of that. And the seminary, just like all schools, still aren't real sure what they're going to do and if we're going to be in person or online. And so it feels a little herky-jerky, you know, go, stop, whatever. And so that adds an extra layer of stress. So that I would be just a good student, and not just a good student so that I could get a good grade or that I could put letters behind my name, but so that I could really learn this material so that I might be a better minister, a better shepherd of God's people, and use the resources well. So those would be my requests for prayer for me and for my family. Any thoughts from any of you gentlemen as we wrap up? Okay. Gabe, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Absolutely. Thanks so much again, Josh. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for people praying for us. We lift our church family up in prayer, Lord. We pray that you would allow us to return and resume full services soon, that everybody would be gathered together as they have for 2.25 centuries here in downtown Columbia. Lord, please make us faithful men, men of the cross, men of the word, men who are indeed sons of God and show themselves to be such. Lord, we pray that you would bring us through another week and bring us to the Lord's Day, rejoicing and full of hope and the hope of glory in Christ and in him alone. Pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gabe, and thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.